Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 15th day of November, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is 10 days of darkness. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. And today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai and Borada, Cymru and Beth, we do ask everybody to mind their P's and Q's during the open mic session, as we have a mixed audience, and we do want to be mindful of that. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is muted upon coming into the chat until such time as they indicate they wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. There is a daily mail page there when email service, which is being heavily censored at this time, and so are texts, by the way, on your cell phone. If I can't get through to you, go back to PastorDan.net and check the daily mail page. I'll try, when I'm able to, update that information there. Also, the call schedule page has been changed to Listen Live. That was based on a suggestion from a listener to how to listen to this call and where to find my master list of back programs, and the archives are all on that page. So Listen Live is now that page. First of all, give you a big update, 10 days of darkness, because for me that's what it's been, 10 days of darkness. It's been almost exactly 10 days that I've been fighting this infection in my jaw, and it's been quite an experience. As you can tell, my voice is not back 100%, but I'm going to tell you it's a hell of a lot better than what it's been for the past 10 days. The experience of that has been quite revealing to me, both on a health issue-wise and for the fact that for 10 days, this 10 days has been during a period of tumultuous activity in the country, but also the weather down here in southern Florida, of course, that during that 10 days, we had some very, very tropical storm type conditions going on. So it's sort of symbolic of what's going on in the country, I think. So for me personally, it was quite an adventure, learning experience, humbling experience. But it was also a time where Father took me out of the picture for 10 days, unable to speak, unable to eat. So it's amazing to me how the Father works. As the Scripture tells us, all things work to the good for those that love the Father and are called according to His purpose. And I'll tell you, there were days during that 10 days that I sort of questioned that. I've had many long discussions with the Father during those 10 days, why this was being done. If He wanted to silence me, why not just blow up my computer? Why not shut down the internet? Why not, I don't know, there's a lot of other ways. Why did you pick this way? So the only thing I could think of was it was to teach me, first of all, to be more empathetic to those that suffer from different illnesses and shortcomings, etc. It was also to show that He walks with us no matter what we do. In fact, I want to read a poem here later on that was instrumental in turning my life around 30-some years ago, but it was also very instrumental during my 10-day period to remind me that our Father never forsakes us, folks. Never. I don't give a damn what's going on in your life. He does not forsake us, ever. We are the weak link in the chain, so we don't ever want to forget that. We also need to remember that when the scriptures talk about darkness, and I know a lot of the truth channels and even the so-called QAnon folks had talked about 10 days of darkness. I really don't get into all that. I don't care what they're referring to. For me, this was my personal 10 days, and darkness is not only being cut off communication-wise, but darkness in scripture is talking about ignorance. Ignorance of the only thing on this earth that matters, and that's our Father. So to be in darkness and to be evil and to be wicked is to be separated from the Creator Father. So 10 days of darkness is also referring to the fact that our people in this world are walking in the dark when you don't have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I don't care who you are, what you're doing. You can't go alone, folks. And you cannot trust the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh in the scriptures talking about men. In this case, your mainstream media, talking heads from government sources, institutions such as the NIH that has a criminal called Fauci at the head of it, and that female called Burks are associated with it. Okay, those are not trusted voices, even though people trust them. They're not trusted in the sense of being legitimate or honest. So 10 days of darkness also refers to that, and the fact that men at the end of the age would walk in darkness. It means ignorance. Ignorance. And it has nothing to do with man's law. When the scriptures talk about the lawlessness at the end of the age, it's talking about lawlessness, meaning his law. And even amongst the truth tellers and the people trying to put out that there's good things happening over this, so few times do I ever hear a mention of our Father. So few times. It's always about this group, that group, these white hats, black hats, purple hats, green hats, gray hats. It's always men, and yet the scripture says, trust not in the arm of the flesh. So the whole point of it is our Father has to be the one who is glorified out of what's going on right now. Along that line, we are on the precipice of some earth-changing events very, very soon. Why he chose the 10 days that he did to put me on my back, I'm not sure. But you can feel it, okay? Every source, every person in my circles that I communicate with can feel the rising up that's going on right now. The consciousness of the people, and I'm talking about the people that count, not your leftists, your communists, your socialists, your criminal cartel, the cabal, the Zionists, etc. They don't count. It's the people that do count, people with a conscience, people who have any kind of empathy for mankind, or basically the spirit of the living God. Those people are coming together in a singularity that has never been seen before, at least not by this person. And so that tells me we're on the precipice of something very, very big. Some of the news that I've seen over the past 24 hours that I was able to take a look at is quite revealing. I've never seen anything quite like it. Now, I'm not trying to tell you I have a crystal ball that's going to give you a play-by-play blow of what's about to happen. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is, as Christ told us, you can see by the signs in the earth and the heavens, the season, the day and the hour, only Father knows. But the season, meaning the general empirical evidence around you, will tell you where you're at. So what I'm conveying to you is that the empirical evidence is telling me we are on a huge change that's coming upon this earth. Huge. Some very odd indicators that were very positive in my way of thinking. came up within the last 12 hours. And believe it or not, some of these people I thought were deep staters themselves. But then again, if Yahweh can make a donkey talk, Yahweh can make even a deep stater either do a turnaround or do his bidding. And these individuals were saying some things to me that I just about fell out of my chair. All of it pointing to the fact that there is a huge event about to commence, and the scriptures will be fulfilled. The book of Revelation, Obadiah, Malachi, Ezekiel, and all the rest. And you're going to witness it. Now, we've talked about it for decades on this program. And again, I apologize. My voice is not back 100%. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm talking with a cotton ball in my mouth. So I apologize for that. So just bear with me. But the scripture says that when Father turns this thing around, it will be a glorious time for his sons and daughters. It'll be a glorious time for those who desire righteousness. The only gauge for righteousness, folks, is our Father's law. Okay, the very law that the church world, which is full of hypocrites and liars, they're telling you was done away with. I'm here to tell you it wasn't. Okay? So the whole world is chasing after the delicacies of Babylon, and they're drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. Widescreen televisions, fancy cars, clothes, jewelry, drugs, alcohol, sex, promiscuity, fornication of every kind, you name it. They're drunk on it. But there's an element of this world that is repulsed by it. This is the separating of the wheat and the tares. This is the coming out of Babylon so that you do not partake of her plagues. Remember, Psalm 91 says you're going to see 1,000 fall to your one side and 10,000 to your right side, but the plague will not come unto you. I've told you that for years, folks. I know what the New World Order has planned. I don't give a damn what they got planned. If our Father sits in heaven upon his throne and laughs at the plans of men, then why can't we? We're his sons and daughters. I laugh at what these assholes have planned. Okay, yes, of course, they'd love to stick every one of us, inject us, turn us into zombies, not able to do anything for ourselves, being an abject slave to the system. Of course that's what they want. But then again, whose army are you part of? What side of the fence do you sit on? Is the Christ a victorious Christ or one in subject to the Antichrist? Last time I checked, Christ comes in on a charger for war to take heads off, okay? Yeah, he allowed himself to be tortured and abused and ridiculed and murdered by the Antichrist back then, which is what he wanted to have happened. That doesn't mean he's going to let it happen this time. All right, so again, events are going to unfold that will bring tears of joy to the righteous. They will bring tears of woe, weeping and wailing to the unrighteous. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to hear about all this church talk or God talk. You know, I'm a good person. I don't need to hear all that bullshit. Well, I got news for you. You might not want to hear it, but you're going to hear it anyway. Because whether you acknowledge the living God or not, he's there. You're part of his creation. And if you don't acknowledge him, you're about to find out what weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth is all about. Now, for my 10 days, I had lots of weeping, gnashing of teeth for a different reason. But part of it was also to pull me down a peg or two and to give me a little taste of what punishment can be like. At least that's how I take it, because it was a very humbling experience to feel like your life was literally on the line. Because if I had to go to a clinic or a hospital, I thought I would never come home. I don't trust doctors. I sure as hell don't trust hospitals, especially now. And I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about hot tears and prayers, that just give me a sign that I can work through this thing. I'll deal with the pain. I'll deal with the discomfort. Just please let me know that I'm not putting my life in jeopardy by being this stubborn, and that I will come out of this on the other side. And praise be to the living God that he gave me just enough healing, just enough internal message that I was determined to stick it out. And again, he never forsakes us. Never, ever, ever forsakes us. And so I may not be 100% right now, but I'm a hell of a lot better than I was during that 10-day period. And so it is as we go into this next phase. That's what I want you to be aware of. Every time things are happening in this world, it's from two points of view. Remember, our Father accomplishes multi-facets on every event that goes on, like even in my life. Okay, 10 days of darkness for me, the timing to me is not inconsequential. It was very meaningful, the timing of this. Now, did I have a part to play in my own condition? Sure I did. I became negligent of some of the things going on in my body. Maybe I was a bit arrogant. Who knows? The point of it is, he can accomplish multiple tasks with any singular event. Well, the same thing goes on for what's going on in the world. Now, is the New World Order and the Zionists who control it, do they have an agenda? Of course they do. Does it mean they will succeed? No, of course they won't. But does that mean they're not going to try and that their anger won't be great? Sure that will. And the scriptures tell us it's exactly what you're going to witness. The point of it is that in the end, the righteous will prevail. Your big decision is, which side of the camp do you want to be on? Okay? Which side of the fence will you be on? Okay, I was just checking out some notes. Yeah, Ken, it's been a long 10 days. And so, again, I don't have a crystal ball for events, but I've heard and read enough to know that this is what's about to take place. And I also know that those who I consider my strongest spiritual prayer warriors are being told by the Holy Spirit virtually the same thing. So this is all telling me that you're going to see it. You're going to see it very soon. So all of the subterfuge, all of the deceptions that have been going on for a very long time, it's all going to come to an end very soon. Very, very soon. The time of game playing and head games and Sun Tzu Art of War deception, all that bullshit, it's going to go to the wayside here very soon. It's simply going to be a matter of, are you in the camp of the saints, or are you in the camp of the goats? It's as simple as that. Are you a wicked person in God's eyes, or are you a righteous person? It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that, folks. It really doesn't. This craziness that's going on is driving those that do not walk with the Father literally insane. These people are psychopaths. And it's becoming more and more obvious to the righteous, is it not? I can't tell you how many times I have heard the comment, I can't stand being around these diaper wearers. I can't stand going to any place to seeing all these people with diapers on their face. Right, because even Dr. Steve Pachenik talked about the fact that he has not worn a diaper one time, as I have not. And he said it for the same reason. The diaper represents low intelligence and no testosterone. In other words, no balls. And what did we say over a month ago on this program? A face diaper represents no balls and no brains. Simple as that. No balls, no brains. And now the fruit of the people's acquiescence to the beast is starting to show up. There's bacterial pneumonia showing up on these people a lot. There's dental decay, new types of dental decay and gum disease showing up. There are face blisters and outbreaks on the face from wearing a dirty diaper all day long. People are realizing putting a dirty diaper on a child is child abuse. I don't give a damn who you are. If you put a dirty diaper on a child, you're an abuser. You don't even have a right to be a parent. That's my opinion, of course. Okay, it's just plain child abuse. Even the workers of iniquity, these monsters from hell, like Gretchen, Stretch and Gretchen up in Michigan and Northam in Virginia and Cuomo in New York, these monsters from hell, even in their edicts, which are completely draconian and unconstitutional, but even in their edicts, they say a child under the age of 6 is exempt. And yet people are so effing stupid, they're still putting a damn diaper on their child. Even the wicked said you don't have to do it. And yet the people still do it. I'm amazed. The lack of integrity, the lack of any kind of common sense. It's mind-numbing. It almost brings me to tears to think that mankind has reached that level of acquiescence and stupidity. I don't care who you are. I really don't. Again, face diaper equals no balls, no brains. I'm sorry. If it applies to you, I'm not apologetic. I'm really not. Okay? At this point in time, why in the hell should I be apologetic for just something as commonsensical as that? Somebody want to explain that to me? So again, the same events that bring tears of joy to the righteous will bring tears of agony to the unrighteous. We have reached that part in the timeline at the end of this age. And this age is coming to an end, folks. You're either going to be part of the new heaven and the new earth, or you're going to go down in flames. And maybe literally in flames. I don't know. To me, the scripture, it's figurative. Flames in Bible times always represented judgment of God. Because what's fire do? Fire consumes completely. That's why the judgments of God, as the scriptures say, his judgments grind exceedingly slow, but extremely fine. Just like a grist mill at a flour mill, okay? That great big old stone where they used to take their grains of wheat and have it pulverized into flour. That stone would turn very slowly, but it ground that wheat down to just a powder. So does Father's judgments. It may be slow in our way of thinking. Trust me. 10 days seemed like 100 days to me. So in our way of thinking, this is slow. This has been painful to witness. And trust me, it has been painful. But his judgments grind exceedingly fine. And I believe that's where we're at. We're going to witness his unleashing of his angels or messengers to do his bidding. And again, Father can use any entity on this earth to accomplish his will. It doesn't matter who it is. It may not even be identity people. All right? We walk in his love and his law, but that doesn't mean he can't accomplish his goals with somebody who's not a part of that camp. And again, if you think I'm wrong, then point out to me where you think I'm wrong as far as scriptures go and common sense. Another little tidbit I want to lay upon people is I've heard a lot of folks speak lately, and some people trying to dismiss the identity message. Scripture that, scripture this, scripture that. And of course, they hold up their Bibles, okay? Again, we've talked about the history of the Bible and where it came from. But the first thing that came to my mind was, when people talk like that, the first thing I ask the people, I go, well, when Christ and the prophets said, is it not written? And they referred to Holy Scripture. What were they referring to? The old parchments, the Old Testament or old parchments. Scripture that existed prior to Christ walking this earth. That's the only scriptures that existed. Not the New Testament. Okay? So when people sit around and all they want to do is quote New Testament, especially the letters of Paul, you're in an area that Christ and the prophets of old never referred to any of that. Just let that sink in. All right? Especially people who live in the letters of Paul. That's part of your problem. Not that that Paul's writings aren't accurate. I'm not saying that, though some people do. What I'm saying is, if you live strictly in those verses and you don't ever check the ones that Christ referred to, you're a ship without a rudder. Just think about that really hard for a minute, all right? So you can sit around and debate the book of Revelation by John the Apostle. You can debate all the other scriptures, Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew. You can debate them all you want. But those words in those scriptures did not exist at the time of Messiah. So they didn't debate those things. They talked about what Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and many other prominent prophets of the Bible, what they were talking about. And remember also, when Christ walked this earth, he didn't carry any written scripture with him. He didn't carry it with him. Now, he read from them in the temple a time or two. But when he addressed the people, he addressed them with what? Truth from his mouth, spoken words of truth. And it resonated with the people. They knew he knew what he was talking about. And he would often say, is it not written? Which means you can go back and check this against the writings of the prophets if you want. But it is written. That's all he said. He didn't say go to Isaiah 20 or go to Jeremiah 50, okay? He didn't say that. He just said it is written. Because your job isn't to memorize scriptures from a book created by the Catholic Church. Your job was to remember the principles of what those prophets were telling us. Because they were inspired by the Holy Ghost of the Most High himself. So in these days of liars and confusion, he's telling you the same thing. Trust not in the arm of flesh. Trust not in your local pastors and preachers and priests, who are most of them part of the clergy response team. They've sold their souls out, the 501c3 sellouts. They have already agreed to preach the party line. And they're being exposed everywhere. All the people pronouncing Biden as the president-elect have exposed themselves for what they are. Every one of them, including these assholes at Fox News. Okay, how many years ago did we tell you don't trust Fox News? I know we've been telling you that for 20 years. Right? Because Rupert Murdoch started up Fox News. Rupert Murdoch is a Zionist Jew. He's no different than the Zionist Jews that run CNN, ABC, CBS, and all the rest. So what in the hell would make you think Fox News is somehow on your side? They just dressed it up different. They're no different than a Rush Limbaugh, who he'll tell you 99% of what you want to hear, but he'll float that 1% lie that the devil always floats on top of truth to get you by deception. Trust not in the arm of flesh. Trust not in the speakings of a monster Zionist kike Jew like Fauci, just because he's got immunologists at NIH behind him. Like that's supposed to make him a trusted voice? You don't have any discernment? You couldn't look in the eyes of that piece of shit and know that he's not even a good used car salesman? All right? Same thing with Burks and the rest of those talking heads that were trumped up there in front of the cameras to make you believe that there's a pandemic when there isn't one? That make you do something as stupid as put a diaper on your face? And yet people actually believe that? I can see why Yahshua said, will I find faith? When I come back, am I going to find any faith on this earth? Answer me that, folks. Where the hell is it? When you walk out here with all these sheep, these cattle, with a dirty, stinking, germ-filled, bacteria-filled diaper hanging off of them and their children. Where's the faith? Where is the discernment? And I'm so happy that people are finally now putting it together that if you want to come out of Babylon, everybody says, how do we get out of Babylon, Dan? Well, let me tell you, Babylon is a system. It's the beast international governmental system, and it controls you via electronics with 24-hour-a-day propaganda. And the strange thing about it is you invite the Antichrist governments into you, your house, and your brain every day. You do it. They don't force their way in. Nobody forces you to turn on that goddamn cell phone. Nobody forces you to turn on that tablet or that laptop or your television set. You do it willingly because they drape it in the delicacies of Babylon. And you want those delicacies so bad that you'll literally do whatever the Antichrist wants you to do to get it. You do it voluntarily. That's why at this point in time, I do not evangelize or try to tell the truth to somebody's watching Talmud Vision or Tell Lie Vision today, at this point in time. If you're watching that goddamn television, stay away from me. I don't want you near me. I don't care if you got $1 billion. I don't care if you got every herb known to man for health. I don't want you anywhere around me because you are the dumbest son of a bitch that ever walked the face of the earth. If you haven't figured out what that flat screen piece of shit is doing to you, your family, your children, and our world, then you're part of the problem. You cannot think straight. You cannot reason properly if you're going to sit there with your face glued to the blue screen of death. Sorry. The image controlled by the beast. The image controlled by the beast. It's not an image of, like a picture of Satan or a picture of a monster. It's images of, controlled by, the beast that creates your woes and miseries. Again, if you haven't figured that out, shame on you. Shame on you. I see a lot of people going on in the chat room. I'm not monitoring the chat room, so please, if you're trying to get something to me there, I just don't have the energy today to do that and try to keep my focus and all that. I can't do it. Okay, normally if I'm 100%, I try to do everything I'm doing, plus watch the chat, but I can't do it today, I'm telling you. I'm on reserve energy right now, as it is, and talking with a cotton ball in your mouth is not a very enjoyable experience, okay? But I just wanted to come out and talk to you folks, because I got so many wonderful phone calls, texts, and emails from listeners concerned about my condition and praying for me and offering me wonderful tips about some things that I knew before, but some things I had forgotten, and there were some new things. So it's, again, we talked about the ark at the end of the age, and we talked about this 3-4 years ago. It could be the networking of his children. And maybe that's what he wanted me to see during my 10 days of darkness. Because the children of the Most High came out of the woodwork in support and sending me well wishes and offering up their prayers. And not just prayers, but information. Have you talked to this person? Here's a website, or here's what I've been doing for the same condition. You see how that works, folks? Prayer is a powerful thing, but prayer alone doesn't accomplish anything, folks. That's why we always said you pray as if it all depends on Father Yahweh, but you act as if it all depends on you. And that's where we're at in this world right now. We are at the precipice of a breakover point, a tipping point, crossing the Rubicon right now. It's not coming down the pike anymore. It's not a bright light way down at the end of that tunnel. This thing's right in your face right now. This is why the children of the Most High must maintain their positive attitude. That's not a suggestion. That is a commandment. You must stay above it all. You must be a shining light in the sea of darkness and ignorance and stupidity around you. It is a commandment from the Most High. You stay above it all. You keep your emotional self in check. You keep your mental and your heart, body and soul, in line with our Creator Father, and you stay positive, because Psalm 91 makes it very clear. You will see all of this happening around you, but it will not touch you. So is it scary to see what these monsters want to try to do? Absolutely. Of course it's scary. Who in the hell would not say it's scary? But at the same time, who is saying that they're going to accomplish this? Okay? Folks, if they could have everything they wanted, you and I would be dead right now. Yeshua's children would not exist right now if they could have their way. Yet you and I are still here. Praise Yahweh. Okay? They have not shut every channel. They have not murdered every one of us. We're in a war. You're part of his army. An army, by the way, that's growing significantly by the day. I was told there's a gigantic march in Washington, D.C. happening this weekend. My brother used to live right across the river from that area. We went to the great big Tea Party rally in 2009 in Washington. There were 2 million people in the streets that morning. So we know very well what that's like. And the strength that you pick up from that many Israelites, because that's why they called it a racist event in 2009. Remember that? Because it was 99.5% white men and women, the children of the Most High. I would imagine that ratio is still pretty prominent today and this weekend while they're in Washington. According to my brother, who monitors that kind of stuff, the crowds that are in Washington for this rally are in excess of the numbers that were there the day we were there 11 years ago. So that would mean it's in excess of 2 million souls descending upon the district of criminals. Significant, folks. Significant. The fact that the lawyer for General Flynn, Sidney Powell, made the statement in an interview, I believe it was yesterday, that she is prepared to release the Kraken, which it came from a movie, Clash of the Titans. Okay, Clash of the Titans. So it's very symbolic. Now, normally when people, even close, anybody associated with that cesspool called Washington, D.C., I don't really put a whole lot of credibility in what they say. But for some reason, I got the feeling that she knows something. Like I said, events are going to happen that are going to be extremely terrible for one group of people, but extremely joyful for another group. Not only that, but Dr. Steve Pachenik, who I don't very often, again, I take everything he ever says with a grain of salt. However, that does not mean that everything he says is untrue. So at the same time, Sidney Powell is putting out her information with Lou Dobbs, Steve Pachenik was putting out some information with Alex Jones. And again, I don't particularly care for Alex Jones's style. First of all, he walks all over his guests all the time, which I find quite annoying. Now, a lot of hosts do it all the time. It's quite annoying. But even given that, Pachenik was able to get this information out there, and it sort of coincides with what Sidney Powell was saying. I'm not saying that those two individuals are on our side, but the things they were saying is telling us one thing. We are going to witness earth-changing events in the very, probably next 4 to 6 weeks, maybe sooner. And so right now, every person who calls Father by his name, calls himself a son or daughter of the living God, needs to be on the highest alert levels they have ever been on. Right now, this is it. I can tell you personally, on a spiritual and a physical level, I'm prepared for whatever is going to come. As a believer in the living God, I'm positive. And I'm going to stay positive. Am I prepared to meet force with force? Yes, I am. If it comes to that. Personally, I think the Father is not going to allow that to happen. But if he does, well, then so be it. All things work to the good for those that love the Father. Do I have physical means to meet force with force? Yes, I do. And you don't need to know what that is. But it's there. And do I intend to use it? Absolutely. Absolutely. If the enemy comes to my doorstep, I will bring force to the enemy. In any way I can. It'll probably be the last thing in this world that I do, but I'm going to do it. Because I'm not going to live to see what this world will be like when the communists take over. These Zionist communist pigs and what they have planned for mankind. Not on my watch. I'm not going to live to see it. So that's just my own personal way of looking at this. Everybody can do what they feel is best. But I'm a spiritual warrior first, but I am also a member of his spiritual and righteous militia upon this earth, the Jeremiah battle axe and weapons of war. All right? And yeah, I'm not saying I'm a great warrior like Samson or King David, but I am a warrior. I know that I can do something, and I know I'm willing to do whatever job he gives me against his enemies and mine. I like what King David said. I count your enemies as my own, and I hate them with a perfect hatred. Hallelujah. 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 Do I hate world Zionist communism? You have no idea how much I hate it. It would be an honor to die fighting it. An honor. Now, does that mean I have a death wish? Absolutely not. Far from it. In fact, I don't wish death upon any person walking this earth. I really don't. Because some people say, it sounds like you're itching for a fight. Well, I got news for you. You don't listen to a lot of the things that we talk about then. Because every great warrior will tell you the last thing on earth they want to see is violence on anybody. That's the last thing. But because of our love for our families and our friends and our love for justice and righteousness, we have to be willing to bring violence to our enemies. That's a duty. That's not a suggestion. That is the duty of anybody who calls themselves a man, especially a man of God, our Father Yahweh. When the Bible speaks of the sons of God being manifested to bring about peace on this poor earth that's in so much travail, that's an idiomatic expression, and in the Aramaic language, it means men who exhibit the traits of the living God, meaning that you are a walking example of the Creator God. You, men, and that doesn't mean you ladies aren't important too, but the men are the warriors. That's our job. And you men are supposed to be the leaders on the battlefield, and you men are supposed to be the leaders of your households. If you're not, shame on you. Shame on you. If you're allowing women and children to rule over you, shame on you. Hang your heads low. Shame on you. Part of the reason the world is in travail is because men have forgotten how to be men. We've allowed the media, the movies, entertainment, bureaucrats for these antichrist governments, clergymen that have no balls or brains, to convince us that to show our feminine side is somehow masculine, to tolerate things that we should strike down with a sword is somehow showing that we're real men. No, real men roar like lions. Real men dictate law based on God's law. Real men don't take shit from anybody. Especially women and children. And remember, in the Greek language, when it says women, that term refers to females and men with no balls. Okay? So our Greek ancestors were pretty damn smart people. Because a man who doesn't have testicles is about the same as a female, as far as warfare goes. And this is not to denigrate the women, because there's a lot of warriors out there that are part of our women folk. And they're warriors in different ways. Some of them are nutritional experts. Some of them are medical. Some of them are great at bandaging you up. Some are spiritual dynamos. That's not to put down the ladies. You're all part of God's perfect plan. But men fight wars for a reason. And men are supposed to have testosterone running through their veins. Now, women have joined in through the feminist movement to, how shall we say this, denut the men over the past 40 years, trying to take away our masculinity, our fighting, our cursing, our drinking, our brawling. Okay? Again, not saying that we should do it in violation of his law, but that's what boys do. When I grew up, we used to have to say, let boys be boys. That's how they become men. So every now and then you get into a big fist fight. You get out there and you organize a football game in your buddy's backyard, and you knock each other down, occasionally end up in a fist fight. But you know, after the game was over, all the boys would head off to the house, and the lady of the house would have a bunch of iced tea for us, and cookies or crackers and jelly and whatnot, and we'd all sit there and laugh and say what a good time we had. That's how men do things, because we could be punching each other senseless and 20 minutes later laughing and hugging each other across the table with some goodies on it, because men can do that. Ladies, you're not so good at that, okay? Let's be honest. An offense to you sometimes can be there for the rest of your life. You just don't let go. You have a very hard time letting go. Men, on the other hand, have a much easier time letting go. That's why I'm saying, you fight wars with the men of your kind, not the women. Sorry. That's just, you don't do it. You don't do it. And so we're going to come across some things, like I said, turning the corner here, we're going to come across some things that's just going to blow your mind. I just have this feeling. It's going to be breathtaking on many different levels. Absolutely breathtaking. We want to reiterate that Henry David Thoreau told us in that quote that for every 1,000 people whacking at the tree's limbs, the tree of evil's branches, there's only one. So one out of 1,000 attacking the root of the problem. What is the root of our problem, folks? Besides looking in the mirror and our own behavior, what names and faces are always attributed to the wicked things going on? Zionists, almost every time. Follow the money, who's behind everything that's going on? Zionist, almost every time. So don't get caught up in the kabuki theater that's being played out right now. Keep your minds focused, all right? And Henry, I'm going to get to you in just a second. But I wanted to read the poem, okay? I'm going to tell you why. Just bear with me, if you would. I got it up here on the screen somewhere. Actually, there was a couple of things I wanted to read to you. What did I do with it? Hold on. Bear with me. Here it is. Okay, this is called Footprints in the Sand, or sometimes it's referred to as just the Footprints Prayer. Now, why this is important is because if it changed my life, it might change yours. Okay? A little story behind this is this prayer was encased in a frame and on my wall 30-some years ago when I lived in Ohio. And one Sunday morning, I had a usual habit of turning the television in the front room on and turning it to some evangelist preaching. Again, this was 35 years ago. And there was an evangelist, and he was talking about what Christ went through on the day of his murder. And it was a pretty good sermon. And as I walked from the kitchen back towards the front of the house, I glanced to my left, and on the wall was the Footprints Prayer. And I started reading it. Bear with me. And as I read those words, and I thought about what he went through for me and you, I cried like a baby, kind of like I'm doing right now. Because it's true. And something happened to me that day. Changing my life forever. Because he was no longer just the name spoken in endless sermons by sometimes mediocre preachers. He was no longer a story out of a Bible of whatever translation. He became a living God to me, a Savior, a friend, a kinsman redeemer. And it literally changed my life. So I wanted to share it if I can get through it, in case you haven't heard it. I know many people have, so just bear with me. One night I had a dream. I dreamed as I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before us, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I do not understand why in times when I needed you the most, you should leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I'm telling you, folks, you have the greatest advocate on your side that the world and the universe has ever known. Why in the hell would you forsake him now? Why in the darkest days that this earth has ever seen would you not turn to someone who loves you like that? Why would you trust in the arm of flesh, which is corruptible, when there's one who walks with you that is incorruptible, never condescending, never abusive, and truly has your best interest at heart? Henry, can you hear me? Hold on.
Wow.
Okay, now you're on, buddy.
I don't even know how to follow that up. Oh, my God. You got me crying here. No, that was amazing. And I was just thinking of my own life when you were reciting that poem. I was thinking about that. That's so true in my own circumstances as well. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, during the 10 days of my darkness, that poem was in the house. I have it on a different frame and a different set, but
yeah,
I looked at it and I remembered those 35 years ago and what that did. And so when my pain was the worst,
yeah,
I reread those things and
yeah,
those hot tears came back. Huh?
Yeah, I've never heard that poem, but the essence of what it's about, I've lived myself and been in that same place many, many times through the various tribulations I've gone through with my own physical setbacks. So I can completely identify with that, and that's why I was brought to tears when you were reciting it. So,
Thank you, Henry.
Yeah. So, just to switch up, go back to what you were talking about a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this, I think, yeah, like you say, many, many people, not so much people that I have personal contact with, but mostly truly awake people, like the people in this conference, yourself, and I think we all do sense that something very, very big is about to happen. We are at a crossroads. This has just been devolving for so long, and this is so much bigger than Trump. That's what you have to understand. It's Trump is the focal point of this election fraud, but it's way, way bigger than that. And it's, I think, in my own mind, it's become crystal clear that there can be no more compromise, and violence is going to be an absolute necessity. I don't know what form that violence is going to take, and I don't know who's going to be involved in that, whether it's going to, God, we'd all like it to be that, I mean, I would love it to be that the moves that he's made in the Pentagon are reflective of something big about to take place in the inner circle of the military intelligence community, and that would be fantastic. And when I look at the shakeup that took place in the Pentagon, you can get that impression. I don't know why it took 4 years, but I guess his back's against the wall. But that made me, for the first time, I mean, I've been a Trump basher for a good 3 years now, because he's done nothing that he promised to do. And I'm still a huge skeptic of him. I wish I had seen moves like he made this last week in the Pentagon a long, long time ago. And I don't know if it's desperation or what, but it could be a sign. But I don't want to depend on men. I think, like you said earlier, this our king has to be involved in this. And if we think our fate is going to be determined by the principalities in this world, I think that's a wrong conclusion. But the fence sitting time is over for Yahweh's people. And if there was ever a moment in history where we need to make our case, it's now.
Amen.
This is probably the uprising. It hasn't actually, maybe it's actually taking place and we don't see. It's not, there's so much that we don't know is going on, but maybe it's already taking place in the inner circles. I don't know, but this is, whatever happens, it's going to, I think it's going to, if it's behind the scenes right now and it's, we don't know what's going on with the Pentagon and stuff, I do feel it's going to overflow into the people, though, and I think it's going to be a massive, I hope it's a massive uprising. That's probably what they fear the most. It needs to happen. It needs to happen now. And people have to choose. They want to, if they want to survive with Satan, or they want to, risk their earthly life by refusing the beast. And, the irony is going to be that these stupid moron mask wearers that are going to, make the wrong choice, they're not only going to lose their earthly life, they're going to lose their soul in the process. So be it. That's what I say to that. And I don't know. One of the reasons I called in is because I wanted to give your voice a break, because I know you're struggling there with the, I guess you had an abscess. And so I just want to give you a few minutes to take a drink of water and soothe your throat a little bit. And I'll just pass it back to you for now.
Appreciate that, Henry. As you were talking about what General Flynn's attorney Sidney Powell said, and what General Flynn is often referred to, and some of the moves being made at the Pentagon, it reminded me of a show that I did back in 2012 talking about a possible military coup.
Yep.
But it also took me back to a telephone conversation I had in 2010 with a former military intelligence officer who was retired, but he had read an email that I sent out, which was a copy of a Scotsman by the name of McGregor. And McGregor had laid out very logically why a military coup would be the only thing to fix America. Only thing.
Yep.
And it was rock solid logic. I mean, rock solid. And so this individual was talking to me on the phone, and he said, "Now, you sent that letter out, but do you actually believe it?" And I said, "I not only believe it, I support it." And he said, "But you're talking about a military coup. The American people will never accept that." I said, "Yes, it would. Well, the right Americans would." I said, "Because not only that, but how are you going to fix America without it? The system is broke. It's beyond fixing. It cannot be used to fix it because it's broke." So as the letter talks about, in the end, the only thing left is for the military to rise up and subdue the wicked so that the righteous can then restore law and order and bring back our country.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, you don't think the people would rise up and resist the military doing that?" I said, "No." I said, "I believe the true red-blooded American men like myself, if we saw righteous generals and admirals leading this, I said, we would be at the front door with our weapons and our uniform and our helmets waiting for you to tell us what to do."
Amen.
We would not resist it. We would help it in every way we could.
Yeah.
And then I ended it by saying, when you go back to the group that you belong to, please express to them, our country is dying. You've got to do something.
Yeah.
You've got to do something. Because nobody in the political realm is going to fix this problem.
And if that was 10 years ago, just think of how much we've regressed and deteriorized since then, to the point now where this is just, I mean, people 10 years ago, you couldn't even compare the level of frustration, even though there was a lot to be frustrated with 10 years ago, clearly, but even compared to today, and with this fraudulent election, and just the, even before the election, I mean, it's just spinning out of control. And I think if the people were ever, if there was ever a right time, if 2010 was, if we were primed for it in 2010, 2020, forget about it. I think clearly, even the majority of the people, even those who don't know Yahweh, would probably, certainly the majority of white people in this country, middle America for sure, would support a military coup. I don't think there's any question about it. We can't sustain ourselves with this incompetent, compromised, sleazebag government. So I guess it's now or never.
That's where we're at, Henry. We, you know for sure, we've talked about this for a very long time. And we said years ago, nobody knows the day or the hour or the year, obviously. But you could see it coming. I mean, you could see the season that we were in. But with these current events, especially what I have seen myself in the last 24 hours, tells me that the wait is over.
Yeah.
We're there right now. So
happens.
Your days for preparation, your days for agonizing over this and everything else,
whew,
they're almost over, folks, because you've reached it. We're at the point.
Yeah.
We're at the Rubicon right now, getting ready to cross it.
It's amazing when I think, you know, I woke up about 7 years ago, and to know that there's, even today, with all the shit that's happening right now, not just the election, but everything leading up to it and over the last decade or so, it just amazes me that there are still a large number of people out there who are just, they haven't woken up. I don't know how somebody can be sleeping today. You know what I mean by sleeping, and sleeping mm-hmm. in the mind. They're just, mm-hmm. It's just, but you know what? They just weren't meant to be partakers of the new world, the new age that I think is clearly upon us. And like you said, for those of us who have agonized, and I count myself in that number, certainly over the last 6 to 7 years. Before then, I was a dumbass, sleeping, you know, idiot. But I like to think that I was a moral person, and you know, I knew good from bad and everything. But I was certainly not awake to with the corruption and what I needed to be aware of. I don't know, I kind of lost my train of thought, but for the agonizing that we've put ourselves through over these years, and there's not a day, sometimes I don't think there's an hour that passes when I'm awake that thoughts of the filth and disgusting nature of our world doesn't cross through my mind, and sometimes I want to act violently towards it, sometimes I just want to cry about it. Sometimes it's depressing. And sometimes I just, and this is probably what helps most of us who know the Father get through it. Sometimes it just makes you that more aware of how close we are to that new age that's going to be just so amazing. And so the thought of seeing the evil build and build and get to a point where they're ready to just dominate everything, you have to know that we're on the precipice. Mm-hmm. And we've been on the precipice, yes, for quite a while, but this is just over the last few months or so, maybe or a couple, 3 years, whatever, you can just see let's bring it right home. I would say, with the start of COVID, I think this is the what they're using this phony virus for. It's become so apparent what their plans are for mankind that that's what's bringing this home to me, that makes it so clear and obvious that we are right there now. And that leading into this election fraud, which is, I think, the United States, clearly the whole world hinges on what happens in this country. So if we if they steal an election, that's so, everybody that is awake and everybody that can think knows this thing is just a total theft. And not that I'm a Trump supporter, but you know, you just can't tolerate this. And so it's go time, I think. And I hope there's a role for us to play. I want it myself. I want to be part of the solution. Even if it's a small, if I have to just take a couple people out, I don't care. I hope something like that happens. I'm anxious. I'm at the point now where I'm anxious, actually. Get it on. The anguish, we've suffered with so much anguish for so long, it's time to just blow this thing out of the water.
I think you're a bigger part of it already, Henry, than you know.
Yeah. I feel like I want to physically do do something to some of these people. I have thoughts of that a lot.
Well, it's
you know,
the commander will give the signal for when that day is here.
Yeah.
And we don't really know what that might, you know, what that will entail. Whether it's, a lot of times we think of it in the ideas of rifles and bullets and rockets, but sometimes it takes a different form, especially for us older guys.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a wait and see at this point.
Yeah, I'd probably have to have my earthly body revitalized before I could do some real serious damage. I'm not in the great shape right now. So.
Well, the good news is that there is some technologies that the enemy has suppressed for the people.
Right. Yeah.
That
right.
may be released here in the near future, and if they are, you might be amazed at what our bodies can be restored to.
Yep.
I've been amazed, to be telling the truth, that for 10 days I had not eaten solid food. And I only had a couple bowls of broth during that 10-day period.
Wow.
And yet, I didn't really feel that bad, to be honest with you. I never got dizzy, never felt like I was starving, not once.
What?
So, and yeah, I dropped probably somewhere from 10 to 12 more pounds. But again, the pain was so much that I couldn't, and then plus with my tongue swollen up like it was, I couldn't have eaten anything anyway. But it was just amazing to me how sometimes we're shown what the body can go through. We don't think it's possible, but it is possible. I got something I want to read. It's not very long. It's short. But after I read it, I want to talk to you, Henry, about Tucker Carlson's move. So give that some thought while I'm reading this, all right?
Okay.
And this is the original Lord's Prayer. This is a translation supposedly from the original text, so it comes out slightly different than probably the version you're used to hearing. My spirit, you are omnipotent. Your name be holy. Let your kingdom incarnate itself in me. Let your power unfold itself within me, on earth as it is in the heavens. Give me today your daily bread, so I might know gratitude and truth. And lead me in not introducing to temptation and confusion, but deliver me from error. For yours is the kingdom within me, and the power, and the knowledge forever. Amen. And one other version, and I believe it's from the Cherokee, and remember the Cherokee were European peoples that stayed here many thousands of years ago. But they had a version that went like this. O great spirit, or Father, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes even behold the red and the purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise, so that I may understand the things you have brought my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Give me always, or make me always ready, to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades, as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. Amen. So, anyway, have you thought much about this move of Tucker Carlson away from Fox?
Actually, I haven't heard anything specific in that regard, although I think it's been a, you know, the consensus has been you can, I think you can see. I don't watch him as regularly as I used to. I've been watching him a little bit lately since the election fracas. To see, I sometimes tune in just to see how much rope they allow him to have, because you know clearly that Fox has the, you know, the final say on what he's allowed to do. I've known that all along as I've watched him over the years. I think he started right when Trump won the presidency in 2016, and I've watched his show evolve over the years. I used to watch him on a regular basis, and now I tune in from time to time. And I think you can clearly see Fox has become CNN. And you can if he's as genuine as he comes off, and he does seem like he's a genuine guy who's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place working for Fox. And so if he is, and Fox is clearly in the last few weeks made a strong move to the left, then you have to see that he'll have to resign. If he stays at Fox News now, when they've made it clear and obvious that what they are, although we've all known they've been shills for the right for a long time, I think he's used his platform in a good way. He's been the only voice of truth for quite a while. Not that he goes down some of the rabbit holes we'd all like him to do, but I think we all know the main reason he can't do that is because there's a Jewish owner of Fox. But if you're referring to him running for president, possibly in 2024?
No, I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, I've actually heard that, too. So you're just talking about him departing from Fox, then?
Yeah, supposedly going to a different platform.
Okay. Maybe a platform that Trump would be setting up, a digital platform, is that? Or would it be another news, another?
I think it's another. I had heard he might go with what is it?
Newsmax?
Newsmax. Something like Newsmax.
There's only two other networks that give, you know, decent amounts of truth, and I would say that would be Newsmax and one called OAN, One American News. I don't watch either one of them very much, but that, I guess that would be what he would do, because Fox is just toast. Fox is pathetic. I don't know. I have a healthy skepticism about Tucker Carlson. I like the fact that the main thing he's over the past 4 years, he's been the only one to speak strongly against the rampant immigration mess that we have, and somehow they've allowed him to have his platform and remain on Fox News despite the fact that they've gone far left. I think it's only because he's the top money draw. He's the big, most popular person that they have, but a separation has to occur. If he has any integrity, he's going to have to leave them.
Yeah, I was under the impression he's already made that move.
Oh, I didn't. No, well, that would be news to me, but not certainly not a surprise. You could see it. You can see it in the coming for sure. Even the fact that he had to almost apologize for that interview that he did with the whistleblower on the Hunter Biden, that full hour that he did at the end of the show, he had to not apologize, but he had to thank. I mean, why would he have to go out of his way? He spent like the last 5 minutes of the program thanking Fox for allowing him to present truth. I mean, give me a break. So that kind of said something there, but yeah. He's one of the few that you can get some decent truth out of. I mean, he is like the only one that I can think of. The other two whores on Fox that follow him up at 9 and 10 o'clock are just pathetic. I can't stomach a minute of either Hannity or that other whore, Ingram. Jew lovers, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Total. I mean, Laura Ingram's even worse than Hannity, I think. I just sometimes I tune in just to see how low they go, and all the experts are always Jewish. All her, at least 50 to 75% of her guests, I swear, are Alan Dershowitz types constantly. I'm so sick of the Jews telling us, you know, they play both sides of the coin. They're on the left, they're on the right, they're, you know, they're Democrats, they're Republicans. False paradigm. It's so pathetic. And Fox plays it up. And yeah, but Tucker Carlson's different. Hopefully he's genuine. I think he is. Otherwise, I don't. You know, I don't know. I just we'll see what happens. But I actually also heard that if we're still here in 2024, I hope things are completely different by then. And but still battling this, I've heard that he would be the front runner for the Republicans in 2024, but who could care? I could care less about that at this point.
Right.
I hope we don't ever have another election, to be honest with you. That would be the best thing.
Right. I'm hoping we're under a full theocracy by then.
Absolutely. That's what I meant, you know, and hopefully it's under Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it has to be.
That would be the best.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yep.
Because if we're coming to the end of the age, which means we're coming into the kingdom age, then that's his time upon the throne.
Right.
And that is, even if it's just symbolic, it means that he and his law, which are inseparable, will rule with a rod of iron. Okay, every scripture that refers to the kingdom talks about him ruling with a rod of iron. And if he rules with a rod of iron, so do his sons.
Amen.
And North America will be the new Jerusalem.
Oh, yes.
And North America will have the 12 gates of the 12 tribes. So all these people that say, well, your DNA and identity and your tribal talk and all that doesn't make any difference. Well, it meant something to the prophets.
Yeah.
It certainly meant something to John in his vision when the city, the great city that we become, has the names of the 12 tribes at the gateways into the Holy of Holies and the city. And it says that we go forth from the city to what? To administer his law. And it says the people outside the walls of the city are coming for what? Wisdom. Guidance.
Yep.
That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a shining light to the world. We're not supposed to go in and bomb their cities and steal their resources and murder their sons and daughters, aunts and uncles and grandfathers and grandmothers. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
We're to be a center of righteousness in the name of Yahweh, and our armies go forth for only one reason, and that is to subdue the wicked. I see that vision all the time. Righteous armies going out and hunting down communists.
Mm.
I can't imagine a greater feeling than to wear a uniform knowing I'm actually going to fight for something worthwhile instead of a bunch of Jew-run corporations?
You know, yeah. And the only thing, the best analogy I can take from that would be late 30s, National Socialist Germany, because when I think if there was an era in history where I wish I could have been in my prime and lived, it would have been in 1930s Germany. And even when the war broke out, that would have been a glorious time to be fighting the good fight.
Amen. Amen.
Even, you know, and clearly, most likely would end in death, but not a better way to go out.
not a better way to go out. And Cigar Jimmy just says here that Tucker moved to Florida. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
You know what else is funny was when I was listening to Dr. Steve Pachenik in his interview, he lives in Florida. The legal lawyer that's helping Peggy Hall out in California, in Orange County, California, fight these dirty diaper laws, he is willing to help anybody resist these unconstitutional mandates, and he's in Florida. And Dr. Ted Brower and his son Austin, they're in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and here again, did you hear about what DeSantis just did down here in Florida?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
He expanded the standard ground. Yeah, he gave you guys the go.
So all these people have been telling me what an asshole I am for living in Florida, that it's the worst state in the world to live in. Well, as I told you 10 years ago and all the years that all my friends and relatives were telling me you're in the worst state in the union, mostly because of the demographics, I said years ago, you don't know what's in the future. I said, here's the thing I do know. My father isn't going to put me in a land where I'm in danger or it's not to my benefit or where I'm going to be under 50 feet of water because of a tsunami. He's not going to do that. So if he's put my ass down here in this slime pit, it's for a reason.
Yep.
Stop doubting the father. Wherever you are as his son or daughter, that's where you're supposed to be.
Mm.
Stop bitching and moaning about where you are because you're looking at everything in man's eyes and realize you're sitting right where he wants you.
Yeah.
Figure out what it is he wants you to do and just go do it and trust that he will guide you and he will also surround you.
He needs his people spread out anyway. I mean, yeah, Florida seems to be a pretty great place to be right now. I mean, especially with what DeSantis did. I mean, I don't like DeSantis because I think he's a Jew lover, but that particular move was pretty good. I mean,
well, here again,
I'd feel pretty good about that if I was a citizen in Florida.
Exactly. That's why I'm trying to tell people in the last 24 hours, well, maybe 48 hours, we've seen some signs of things that we haven't seen up to this time.
Yep.
Significant things, people. Pay attention.
Yeah, I think that was big. That one was huge.
That's huge. And we got three.
Spread to other
yeah,
states
we got
too.
Three of the strongest constitutional sheriffs in America.
Mm-hmm.
Grady Judd in Polk County, Florida, is one of the strongest. All right.
Yep.
So yeah, Florida's got its problems. We got excuse me. We got way too many non-white invaders here. But, on the other hand, we also have a shitload of patriots, rednecks, militia, people that have been fighting the corrupt public school system for decades, people have been fighting unconstitutional laws. Chris Ann Hall and her husband are huge constitutionalists. She's a lawyer. He used to be a pastor. They're raising the alarm like crazy. She's giving speeches all over the world. And guess where they live? Tampa.
Yep. Awesome.
So it's like when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, was it where he wanted to go? No. He did not want to go.
No.
Okay, but did Yahweh do a great work through the preaching of Jonah in Nineveh? Yeah. Yeah. So stop looking at everything through human eyes, folks. Your only decision is, do you want to be part of his army or don't you?
Same.
Do you want to be part of his sheep or don't you? That's it. It comes down to that. If you're worrying about the nitty-gritty stuff, then you've missed the whole point. Which camp do you want to be in as we go into this next phase? Do you want to be fighting and doing all you can for the righteous, or do you want to take the side of the wicked? That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no fence. We've told you that Yahweh was shrinking that fence for a long time now. Well, guess what? We've reached it. The fence no longer exists, especially in America, but even in the world today. The fence is gone. Right now, this day, you choose whom you will serve. Whether it be the pagan gods of the communist Zionists, or whether the living God Yahweh. You choose this day, folks. There is no more time to pussyfoot around and pretend that you've got a foot in each camp so you can escape trouble, or you don't have to make a commitment. Those people that have trouble with commitments, you're in a bad way, because we reached that point in the timeline. There is no fence anymore, folks. It's gone. Make up your minds. What do you think, Henry? That's the way I see it.
I totally agree. I mean, we're at on the precipice. Just looking up some scripture talking about that time when Yahweh's in control of the land, which I think we're close to. I think this is talking about that. Ezekiel 28. I'll just read. I think this. Let's see. It looks like it's three verses. I'm going to read. No longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbors who are painful briars and sharp thorns. They will know that I am the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I should say this is what the sovereign Yahweh says. But when I gather the people of Israel from the nations where they have been scattered, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of the nations. Then they will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. They will live there in safety, and I will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety when I inflict punishment on all their neighbors who malign them. Then they will know that I am the Lord, their God, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you said that was Ezekiel 28?
Yep.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, I recommend to people every day, read Psalm 91. Now we can tell you, read Ezekiel 28, but Psalm 91, go read Jeremiah about the battle axe and weapons of war. Go read Obadiah, verse 18. Go read Psalm 149 and pray in precatory prayer against these sons of bitches that we're up against. Psalm 83, as Ralph always puts up there. Okay, and also go to Malachi chapter 4. We've been talking about that for quite some time. I hope people are starting to figure it out. Some of you have, because you've contacted me about it. There's a reason I keep harping on Malachi chapter 4. I hope somebody will figure it out pretty soon. Cigar Jimmy had something he put in the chat room there, and it reminds me again. Some of the strongest warriors I know right now in the truth community and the patriot community, like Jimmy, Cigar Jimmy, and Phil, and Jeff up there, and Mark over in Gainesville, and Dan Kersey, who left Georgia, and now he's up there near Jacksonville. Mike. From Texas. He went from Texas to St. Louis to South Carolina, and now where is he? Central Florida. Central Florida. All these are brothers, strong brothers of mine. A new brother named Tim down in the Keys. Another strong veteran, strong speaker of truth, a strong believer. All of them down here, folks, down here in what we call the bowels of America, but that's where we're at. So, hallelujah. You can do his work wherever you're at, folks. You can do his work anywhere.
Yeah, and there's you just look in the chat box, and there's a good mix of Israelites throughout the country. There's a new fella.
You broke up, Henry. Hello? You still there, Henry? Uh-oh. Are you able to hear me? According to the board, I'm still coming through. But Henry, we lost you, buddy. My board shows you're connected, but we can't hear you. Henry! Oh, Henry! Can you hear me, Henry? Can you hear me, Henry? All right, I guess we lost Henry. I don't know. Maybe you have to hang up and call back in, Henry. I don't know. You started fading out. Oh, wait a minute. We got another caller here. If I can get the software to work, boy, I'll tell you. Be nice to have a real studio sometime. Jimmy, you're on the program, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Dan. I wasn't going to make you talk anymore. I figured you're finishing up soon. I wanted to call and let you know I, too, have had my plate full here. We got the tropical storm that visited you, came up and visited us here. And I'm glad that you're through or at least getting better, recovered from your incident. I know dental and jaw issues are one of the most painful and unnerving
right.
ailments to have. So,
hey Jimmy,
I got your email.
Jimmy,
yes.
Now, one of the listeners asked
yes.
if you could increase your volume a little bit.
Well, I'm on my phone.
Okay, that's stronger.
You want me to call back? Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I've got a headset on. Let me get the mic closer to my big mouth here. But
there you go.
I wanted to call in and just, you know, send there. I've got it in my mouth. but I wanted to call in and you know, give you my brotherly love and prayers for continued. And just to say I am 100% feeling the imminent whatever the hell it's going to be, getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, I didn't call in earlier because I figured I've worn out your listeners long enough. I haven't changed my tune. I have been on the fence on certain issues in the past few years, which there is no more fence. I really took note of that comment. And as far as anybody thinking we're going to take any north end to the southbound bull here in Florida, that's not happening here, not in Tampa, not nowhere. I've got too many friends that don't do radio or don't listen to radio that are on our side, and as soon as anybody makes the wrong move, we're coming out of the woods, man.
Mm-hmm. That's good news.
Did we lose Henry? Did his battery die, or...
I don't know. He disconnected, so I'm assuming he either lost signal or whatever. But he might have been done talking anyway. I'm not sure. I'm trying to see if he showed up on the board here. So no, there he is. He's back on. So if you wanted to say something else, Henry, just give me the *6 and I'll bring you back on. But. Yeah, here he is. He's back up here, so hold on a second. We'll get him back on the call.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, now I can hear you, Henry. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I'm on my little flip phone now. I was on my laptop, and my laptop's all messed up, and I have to have the power cord constantly plugged in, and it came out when I was in the middle of a sentence, so I don't even know what I was saying, but that's what happened.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm rebooting my laptop now, and I'll jump back on that in a moment. But for the time being, I'm on my little phone. If you can hear me okay.
Yeah, yeah, you're coming in clear.
I noticed that Jimmy took up the slack. That was good. I just caught the tail end of Jimmy's last comment, talking about how well Florida seems to be prepared. But I think what I was talking about as I cut myself off, I was looking at the chat box, and I chat with a number of fellas in the box there, Ralph, and a new guy named Adam, and Adam's from California. I think Ralph's from Western Canada. And, you know, so we got Israelites all throughout North America, the new Jerusalem or the new Israel, whatever you want, however you want to call it. And you said earlier, and I agree, for a couple of years now, I've been attempting to move south, not to Florida, but I've been attempting to get down south of the Mason-Dixon, Tennessee or somewhere. It just hasn't worked out for some reason, and I ended up staying here, up in the freaking Northeast. You know, Adam's in California. So we've got Israelites in some nasty territories, but I agree with what you said earlier. We're probably here for a reason. Until that time comes where it falls into place, and it's, you know, maybe not going to happen now. I don't know. I'm just going to count on the fact that I believe that this is where he wants me to be for the time being. And if I end up moving down there, so be it. But make the best of the situation you're in. And there's, like I said before, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but there's probably a reason why we're spread out too. And so, you know, it's hard to find fellow. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. And when I went through my 10 days of darkness, one of the folks that is a regular listener had told me that she said in her prayers, she was told that Dan's been silenced for his own good, his own protection during this 10 days. So I have no idea what in the hell that's all about. He silenced me. There ain't no doubt about that. I couldn't do diddly squat. But according to this person, the reason for the darkness or the silence had something to do with whatever mission I've got, and somehow it was for my benefit. Maybe it was to take a break from it all, because let's face it, that was a 10-day period of pure and utter nonsense with the election, plus the storm going through, and I was already on a high stress level, I'll have to admit. I was pretty stressed out. So perhaps there are a multifaceted level. It was for my benefit. Even though I was hurting like hell in the long run, it actually was going to be beneficial to me in some way. So who knows? I mean,
hey, Dan, can I throw a comment in?
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry, sure.
I'm the same way. You know, you and I met in person a couple times, and I get pretty high strung. I don't like to see injustice. I don't like to see people hurt, and I can get carried away and get a blood pressure thing going up. And I, in the recent 60 days or so, I got a nudge to settle down. And so, man, that rung a chord when you said that. We have to stay healthy. Those that truly care do get riled up, but we don't do ourselves any good to get our blood pressure going. That's probably the worst thing that us old guys can get going. And I put myself on a lot of natural herbs and things in the last 60 days. I see a difference, and I'm just not getting on my soapbox in the way I used to anymore. I've been there, done it, got a T-shirt, wore it out, gave it to Goodwill, and somehow it came back to me. But, yeah, it's here, and it's time to get a cool head, have relaxed discussions, try not to get all emotional about it. Those times have passed, at least in my book. And, Henry, I wanted to say hello, brother. It's kind of ironic that you dropped off, and I decided I'd just call in at the end here and wish Dan good luck on a full recovery and say hey to you. So, and, yeah, we ain't going to take any brown matter down here in Florida. We're set. We're ready. I'm not going to be the one to fire the first shot. But you come at me, and like Dan said, I'm ready to fight fire with fire.
I think everybody here has the same attitude.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to bring up a couple points, so real quick here, because we are getting close to the two-hour mark. On the health issue, because one thing it did teach me during my 10 days was you can't fight, folks, when you're not well, okay? I couldn't do much of anything. It wasn't that I was bedridden, but when you're in that much pain and you're not eating, you're not much of a warrior, okay? You're not much of a help to anybody, to be honest, okay? So my takeaway from that is to pass on to you two things that I realized that were precursors to this abscess attacking me. Now, a lot of people, when they hear abscess, all they think about is an abscess tooth. Folks, an abscess can be caused by a fungus, a virus, a microbe, anything. It can be anywhere in the body. It can be on the surface of the body. It's just a pus pocket, basically. It's a highly infected area. Now, what set me up for this attack is what I want you to learn from, the same way I have learned. Two things that I let go of keeping a very close watch on precipitated my problem. Number one, I was not drinking enough water. I thought I was, but I wasn't. So I became dehydrated. Folks, you have to drink good, pure water and enough of it every single day if you want to stay healthy. Number two, and these are both pretty easy to fix, folks, just drink more clean water. Number two, I became acidic. How many times have we said that in this program? Disease, including abscess, cannot live in an alkaline body. I had let my pH drop way below 7.2. I was probably down around 5, maybe even lower. Highly acidic because of lack of water, one, eating an improper diet, the other. Not the food I eat is organic, but you still have to pay attention to what you eat as far as keeping the body pH proper. So a lot of people say, well, that's too much to worry about. Okay, well then, let me tell you, after laying on my bed in severe pain for 10 days, I'm going to tell you, keeping an eye on how much water I drink and my pH level, that's pretty small. That's a small price to pay to not have to ever go through that again. So you choose this day what you will do. I'm laying the gift on the table, and what you do with it is up to you, folks. And we got another caller from Texas. I believe this is Curtis. Curtis, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Glad to put my input in. I'd like to say that over the over time, we've been losing more and more leaders in our society that we can go to for grievances. And losing Trump is a nod of power. I listened to that from No White Guilt from BitChute, and he gave some pretty good information. And over time, since 1965, there's been a lot of leaders that we can go to address our grievances and say, look, we got our election stolen from us. But before, we had people that we can go to. But now, with affirmative action and all these multicultural programs, they've been fired and taken out of power. One of the frustration about their election is that there's less and less people to go to in power that represent this society. And I think that was a big loss to me that breaks my heart that there's less people to go to express our grievance. The election was stolen, and it's a sad day.
Yeah, but it may be the trigger. That's the whole point of what we've been talking about today. I believe that we are witnessing the trigger point. We're at the tipping point in this country. That's what you're going to see over the next couple months. We finally reached it. It took this much pain. It took something as obvious and grotesque as this charade of an election to push us over the tipping point. Because now there's only a completely brain-dead individual could not see the corruption and the communist influence behind what's going on, the Zionist communist influence. Only a completely blind and ignorant person could not see it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think that's that points out the stupidity of the Jew, because they always push things too far, too fast, and it's going to blow up in their face. And they can only blame themselves this time.
Yep. Amen.
Well, my two cents is, and I don't trust any of them. None of them. But Trump is the best of the worst, in my opinion. And I, excuse me, I just do not think that Trump does not have something up his sleeve. I was talking to some of my retired government guys. They were telling me about how this election took place during a state of emergency. And Dan, I'll dig up the email and sanitize the names to keep them in their anonymity that they requested. But it made some sense. And I guess with all that said, in this brief amount of time that we have, Trump's up to something. And I also agree with you, all this presenter, or all this president-elect, or whatever the hell these guys are, that Colin Biden, give me a break. It's not even been certified. He's nobody right now. The other thing that I've noticed, and Henry said it earlier, is Fox. You know, I don't hang my hat on any one of them, but I also like to see what my enemy's up to. And one of the sources I have is, unfortunately, the media. But my Lord, yesterday and the weekend anchors, or whatever you want to call them, they have gone so far left, I had to shut them off yesterday. It was just absolutely just, I forget the guy's name. He looks like a used car salesman, all due respect to car salesman. But he was just backing Biden and how we need to stop crying and, you know, face the fact that we had a true and honest election. Also, all these articles that there's been no proof whatsoever that the election was stolen. I mean, you got to be dead to not see it. So with that, the reason I want to butt in that, and I want you to look, if you're acidic, look into cherry and celery.
Right.
And I'm sure your nutritionist can get you into that. But, man, I found that, and I've been taking that. But not to shift gears all over the map. But in summary, what I'm trying to say is they're up to something. And this could all be kabuki theater as well. Yeah. The whole damn thing could be planned. Every part of it. Anyway, I just wanted to say that about that, and I wanted to jump in with that cherry and celery seed. Look into that if you haven't heard of it.
No, you're right. Tart cherry juice is extremely good for fighting acidosis. So, in fact, when I lived in Michigan, they're one of the biggest producers of tart cherries. So I had ample tart cherries readily available up there, and I was eating them all the time. But you're right, celery as well. Also baking soda, food grade baking soda.
Right,
quarter
not the Arm & Hammer that you stick in the fridge.
Right,
yeah.
You want food grade baking soda. Put a quarter teaspoon in a glass of water, and it turns the water extremely alkaline. So. And I used to have an alkaline water machine when I lived in Michigan. I lived this and proved it. So it would produce a pH of 9 water for drinking. And I drank almost exclusively that water. And in the dead of winter in Michigan, my skin was as soft as a baby's butt. It never wrinkled. It never cracked. It never chafed. My lips never chafed. So it proved to me that, and I never got sick, alkaline water is a godsend, especially if you're O-type blood, which is prone to arthritis, and you're having trouble keeping your pH level up. Find a source of alkaline water. Make sure you get tart cherries. Use the baking soda, whatever. Try to eat green leafy vegetables, which almost all of the dark green leafy vegetables are very alkaline. Most of your fruits are very alkaline. So but it's so very important. But along with you were saying, Jimmy, let me just throw this in here. This gets back to that discussion I had with the military intelligence individual so many years ago. And when Obama came into power, remember, he got rid of a shitload of generals and admirals, the best of the best. I was told that those admirals and generals didn't just fade away. And my suspicion, again, my opinion only, my suspicion is that those admirals and generals are these individuals that people talk about in the shadows who have been working diligently.
Let me just interject real quick, and you are spot on to what my friends are saying. I mean to interrupt, but you are 100% spot on. Those guys didn't go away. They went to their own planning room, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead.
But it just goes hand in glove with what you're saying then. These guys, my opinion again, Donald Trump is not an outsider. Donald Trump grew up in the middle of all of the swamp. But there are certain aspects about Donald Trump that do make him quite unique. And I was told that these brave men and women of the military that have formed this alliance chose Donald Trump to be the figurehead for this effort and to take the attention away from them. If you look at what's going on right now, it speaks that that plan is exactly what we're watching. Because if you look at the past 4 years, Donald Trump did exactly what they asked him to do. He has become the face, he's become the buffoon, said some outrageous things. He's taking all the heat so that the military can do what it has to do, which is get ready for a military coup. Now, interestingly enough, what just happened in Germany? The United States military just acquired all the servers from Dominion in Germany. They just took them.
Yep.
They confiscated them. The military did that. So that's why I'm saying be careful as we go forward, because you're going to see some things that might shake you up just a bit. But if...
Hey, Dan, just for clarity, I don't know how many of your listeners know Dominion, but Dominion, just to build a very 10-second explanation of a huge flowchart, Dominion... it was a major box in the election flowchart in which involved the voting process, the counting process, the reporting process. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, I mean, we've got a good group of smart people here, but I wasn't sure that people realized that what we got our hands on was the hopefully the proof that we can put together. And see, that would go also, as you say, hand in glove onto, you know, there's a lot of theory that this whole thing, in other words, you give your enemy enough rope to hang themselves. And I think Trump knew about these Dominion servers. I think he knew how the whole flowchart of the counting was going to go forward. And he let the outcome come out the way that he expected. And then he sent the boys in directly and got the proof. And this time, it's not Hillary's bathroom server, or it's not Joe Biden's laptop. This is huge.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt again. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would only change it one little bit. My personal opinion, again, I don't believe Donald Trump is actually leading this. I believe the best of the best of our military are leading it, the General Flynn types.
Okay.
That's the only way.
I have to. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think Donald is playing his part, but the brains behind it and the mission is 100% military. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think we're going to see that play out. I believe that's why Steve Pachenik, Dr. Pachenik, said what he said yesterday. And I also believe that's why Sidney Powell made the comment about releasing the Kraken. When they confiscated those servers, They already have a mountain of evidence, okay? But I have a feeling that when they confiscated those servers, it was the peace that they've been waiting for that will unleash pure hell on the heads of the serpent. That's just my opinion. Yeah. That's why she had a...
I second that opinion.
She had a smirk on her face. I've never seen Sidney Powell in any interview. She had a smirk on her face, and when she said, "We're about to release the Kraken," it was the last thing I would ever have thought I'd heard her say. So when I put that together with Dr. Steve Pachenik and Alex Jones and Lou Dobbs and these other truther channels that I'm watching, I said, "Oh, my God, is it possible? Yeah. We're finally going to see some action."
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think Alex
is not my buddy, but he made one hell of an impressive presentation at the march yesterday. Out of all the times I thought he was going to have a heart attack on air, yesterday was the crown jewel. And he basically came out and said, this has only just begun, and he was fired up. I mean, if he had a weapon on him, he probably would have started shooting.
Wow. Wow, yeah. Very good.
And,
hey, go ahead, Henry, I'm sorry.
No, you had a thought, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just going to ask you guys to indulge, but I'm starting to run a little bit out of gas.
Yeah.
So if we could go to closing comments so I can get this thing uploaded for the other people to listen on the archives.
Well, Dan, I'll go first and then I'll give up. Dan, again, the main reason I called was to wish you well. I've been there, done it, got a T-shirt. And I know that there's nothing like pain, especially in the mouth and jaw, due to an abscess. You sound good, but you sound tired, so get you some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And you know I'm always here. Gentlemen, just keep the faith and keep your powder dry. And God bless y'all. Bless Yahweh.
Yeah, very good, Jimmy. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yahweh bless your heart and stay strong, okay?
Yes, sir. You as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how many times I find myself when I do go on with you in the conference calls, I end up with Jimmy also. It's amazing. But we missed you when you were out, and I personally miss getting the emails and stuff. But I do go to your website, and I could see you weren't even updating that, but I understood completely. It's a pleasure to be on your program once again. And to all my friends in the chat box, I just want to say, praise Yahweh. The day is upon us.
Amen. Praise Yahweh. Thanks a lot, Henry. You're a trooper, buddy. You're one of the best. Curtis, you still with us?
I'm with you. Just say, enjoyed the show, and the information is encouraging to know. And I drink more water myself, and I feel great.
Oh, excellent.
Yahweh bless, Commander Dan. Take care.
Thank you, Curtis. Yahweh bless your heart, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for your indulgence. I know I'm not 100%, and my voice is not its usual self. stick a big old wad of cotton in your mouth and see how it feels to try to talk with that in there. it's not as much fun as you think, but I just know we're on the verge of something. That's why I'm so glad that Curtis, Henry, and Jimmy jumped in here with us and added to the witness testimony of where we're at. The Holy Spirit is laying it on my heart very, very strongly. And, you know, everything works to the good, folks. Everything works to the good for those that love the Father. Now, this is a true and sincere love. This is not a fake, phony love like these televangelists and these 501c3 church leaders. They are not for real. Okay? We're talking about men and women that truly love the Father. Everything works to the good for us, his children, and those called according to his purpose. So that means there's two sides of this thing. It's not only your love to him, but called to his purpose. You can't be a part of his purposes if you're not a willing vessel. So just loving the Father is not the only part of the equation, folks. Are you a willing vessel? Have you opened yourself up to his leading? Have you stopped trying to micromanage your life? You can't do it, folks, especially now in this sea that we're swimming in of darkness and corruption. You have to hang on to the rock. Why do you think he's called the rock? The rock of my salvation, the rock of my refuge. Praise and glory be to Yahweh our Father. All right? Hang on to him. Don't worry about what these criminals are up to. Trust in the Father. It's his plan. Remember, halagos in the Greek is the plan. It's not just the word. It's the plan. Don't worry about what kind of plan this group called Q is talking about. Who cares? The plan is the Father's plan. That's the plan that matters. Not Donald Trump, not white hats, not black hats, not blue hats. His plan. And be a part of his plan. And everything works out, not only in the here and now, but in eternity, on the other side of the veil. And just remember, we are in an enclosed earth, people. You are an enclosed earth. Our Father didn't just throw you out in a vast universe. This is a special protected spot. It's why it was called the garden. The very word garden means a protected area. And on the other side of the veil is whatever he's got in store for us. That's why we're down here for the test. All right? Just accept that. Live with it. Deal with it. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share fellowship with each other and to share information and testimonies. We thank you for the health tips that you provide us. We thank you for the healing that comes with the rays of the sun and with knowledge and enlightenment to your natural world of healing that's out there if we would just trust it. We thank you for walking with us as the poem that we talked about of footprints in the sand. Many times in our doom and gloom days, we look back and see that one set, and we've always thought that we were on our own. No, never. We praise you for being the one who carries us through. And we praise you ahead of time that you're going to carry us through this up-and-coming period that we're going to go through right now. It is time that the wicked be put down. It's time that this wicked world be smitten of these creatures, these miscreants that walk amongst us, liars and deceivers, rapists and torturers. It's time for them to be gathered up and burnt in the fires so that the righteous can walk at peace and safety and prosperity upon this earth. This whole criminal cabal that runs this world, the banking system, needs to be burned to a crisp. And start all over again under your law, your direction, and your authority. And I thank you personally for giving me enough strength to go through this and have enough voice that I could even say anything. Praise and be to your name for that, Father Yahweh. And thank you for that meal yesterday. It tasted so good. After 10 days without a meal, it tasted so, so good. And we thank you again for all of our supporters, both through prayers and actual either donations or material goods, well-wishers, those who carry this message to others, and for those who hear it that we don't even know about. Because we trusted from day one, 21 years ago, that the truth, if it was put out there, would reach the ears that it was supposed to reach. And we've always trusted that you will guide that. It's none of our business. Again, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask that you would go and walk with each and every one of your sons and daughters this day. Lift them up by your Holy Spirit, Father. Let them see the goodness that's out there. Let them see the positive things that are going to take place very soon. And let them gird up their loins, both spiritually and physically, for the fight. And this day, again, we thank you for watching over us. We thank you for our blessings. We thank you for the teachings and the guidance that you give by your Holy Spirit. And always, Father, thank you for protecting us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.